Good afternoon. This is Brian Papstein. Welcome to KINS's Meet the Candidates series, our special series designed to help you get to know the views and opinions of the candidates for local offices, including the Fortuna School Board, a little bit better. In this segment, we'll hear from Marilyn Strahl, candidate for the school board. Each of our segments of Meet the Candidates is 16 minutes long. Welcome, Marilyn.
Hi.
As is our custom, we give everybody an opportunity to introduce themselves for those who may not know who you are, so introduce away.
Okay. I'm Marilyn Strahl. My husband and I have owned a business in Fortuna for 30 years, and we've been very involved in the community. I am on quite a few different clubs and work as treasurer in numerous of them. I've been on the school board for 28 years in Ronerville, and I feel that I've spent some significant time helping that school district become the excellent one that it is. I think this consolidation is excellent for the city of Fortuna. I hope to continue to bring my knowledge and want to be able to learn more to be able to pull this district into a unified, great school for everyone.
That's it? You're not even going to mention the store?
Oh, well, I own Strahl Shoes with my
there
husband.
You go.
Sorry.
Okay.
Well, then, and I am a certified podorthic, and I help people with problem feet.
I mean, you don't.
I was being political
this
here.
Yeah, this is a little bit more. This is us.
Okay.
All right, Marilyn, let's go into the first area of questions. What do you see as the biggest challenge facing the new school district?
Well, sadly to say, I think the budget is the biggest challenge. The governor keeps trying to decrease the money that they're giving us. And if this initiative doesn't pass in November, we'll lose $370 per student. And we've already had such tremendous cuts. It's really hard to keep the excellence in education going, along with the things that are very important to me, like sports, music, the arts. We've been blessed with employees that have gone above and beyond their duty to make sure that the students are receiving this. But it's really hard on employees, and we have to make sure that they don't burn out. They're good people. They do a job I can't do, but they're really the essence and the part of the school that keeps our children learning. So the budget's going to be our problem.
You said budget and excellence kind of in the same breath.
Yeah, I know.
Budgets are black and white,
mm-hmm.
Pretty easy to define. Excellence is this
not tangible,
mercurial thing that just kind of seems to ooze around, and everybody has their definitions of what excellent might be. How do you quantify excellence?
Well, when a child comes to school, they all come with different needs, and they learn in different methods. So excellence is finding the method that they learn best in and creating it. There are many programs available, and our teachers have been great to be able to individualize programs for students so they can learn. Some children pick up a book and read it in kindergarten. Others don't really catch on until second or third grade. And you just have to continue to manipulate the program so the child gets excited and learns to read, and then everything follows through.
So more of passion than a 1 to 10 scale of where excellence might be.
Yes, you're right.
You also touched on extracurricular.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's really a tension between budget and the educational experience, it seems to be in those departments that are extracurricular or perceived as not the main track.
That's sadly true.
So the music, the athletics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Is there a balance between the two, or do you lop off, if you can't afford, let's say the school library, or let's say the music program, let's say this sport or that sport? How do you balance those?
That's been a real juggling act in these last few years, and it probably will continue until the recession is over. Our school district has done a couple things. We've been able to offer music in the lower grades, K through 4, on a minimal time, but at least a half hour. And then they are able to have music in our XL program, which is excellent after school program. And so we're able to offer for the K through 8 a choir and band, and it's in a free after-school program, so it continues, excuse me, to move on. And it was able to be able to do that through different funding through Excel. And as far as sports go, in grammar school, basketball is really the thing. And we've been really lucky that we've got coaches that volunteer. These men and women are passionate. They love the sport. And they volunteer their time to make sure the children have time to play. And they start in an intramural program young. But, boy, by the 7th and 8th grade, those kids are out there and they're having a ball and they're going to tournaments. And win or lose, they have fun and they learn. And through this thing of sports and music, sometimes that's what keeps a child in school because it's their passion. That's what they like. And it teaches them the ability to work with other children and adults. And that's something you have to do through your whole life, through work, everywhere you go. So it's a learning process.
Let's move into the second area of discussion. Marilyn, why should parents of kids, children, students, attending Fortuna Elementary Schools be excited about you going back onto this board?
That's a tough one. Well, I think because of my passion, my love of the children, I'm volunteering in a classroom. So, I mean, you know, I'm still seeing day to day what the teachers are doing, and it's astronomical. I care for the children, and I'm very accessible. I'm willing to listen. There are many a times we've had difficult decisions to make, and, you know, I try to do my research. I look at it from a lot of different angles and then go to board meetings and truly listen to the presentations to us and then what the public says. And I've more than once changed my mind seeing all the facts. So I think I'm open to what's best for the community, and hopefully they'll see that through my past practice. I know maybe sometimes people aren't always happy with my decision, but I try to look for the best of what's for the students.
28 years on the Roanerville board, certainly there have been a number of evolutions.
Oh, yeah.
And revolutions that
yes.
have gone on. As you reflect back, which of those set the school district up to be better that you might not have been that excited about when you started hearing about it?
Well, it's the difference that we've done. Our teachers work very closely. They collaborate. But I think the thing that's really pulled our students through to get into high school and college well is the dedication of the students and the idea that they're able and willing to make changes. We've had a departmentalized 7th and 8th grade, which when my daughters went through, I was like, oh my gosh, they're changing classes that young. It's on a small scale. It's between 3 and 4 rooms. Their lockers don't have locks. I mean, but they get the idea. And so when they get to high school, it's not so frightening. I mean, there's these little things that go on all the time that are training them to become good adults, and they're little steps. And I guess the major thing that's made a difference is caring teachers.
You've been able to foster that?
I hope so. You know, Roanerville School has been, I can't think of the right word right now. We do a lot of things that are very down home. The school board cooks a meal for every employee the first duty day, and it's just a welcoming back thing to say hi and get to visit with the employees again. We've all been involved working on different projects, going to carnivals, helping where we can. I'm not sure I'm answering the question.
That's all right. That's okay. It's always interesting when those in authority do things for those who aren't.
Oh.
That whole concept of the welcoming.
It's fun, and I don't
so
burn
simple.
The eggs. That's the best part.
Oh, really?
Part.
So you are an expert.
No, I try. That's my specialty, scrambled yeah. eggs.
We'll talk to the girls about that, too.
Okay.
You're listening to KINS's Meet the Candidate series. In this segment, you're hearing from Marilyn Strell, candidate for the newly formed Fortuna Elementary School Board. Marilyn, let's move into the final area of general discussion. Funding, curriculum, and staff issues are often all we hear about from school boards. What areas of being a school board member interest you the most?
I don't think you can separate those. The funding is what's driving us right now. It's sad that we don't have the extras we had 5 years ago. And hopefully that will change in the near future. Curriculum is extremely important. The curriculum is dictated to us in a little bit by what the books are offered to us through the state. But you have to really adapt that curriculum, excuse me, to each student. So you're going to teach what is required, but still you're able to add fun to it. And for instance, they may be studying frogs in the first grade, and they'll read a story about the frogs, and then they'll see a frog, and they write a story about it, and all kinds of things. So, you know, it's curriculum is really exciting, and they do a lot of thematic teaching to where they will study the frog in science and in reading and in writing, and, you know, and they pull it all the way through, and the children don't know they're learning, but they learn a lot. Staff is what our school is so lucky to be able to have, people that are dedicated. We have a wonderful woman that cooks for the children, and they eat the food. We have caring people the people in the office that not only tell you what classroom to go to, they put the Band-Aid on the little girl that's just fallen down. They give the ice pack. You know, we have wonderful employees that love their job. So you can't take everything apart. And I can't say I stress one over the other. It's a group effort to keep everything going, as all these subjects are.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the specific areas, language skills, mm-hmm. And languages. Is there enough of an emphasis on English, Spanish, foreign languages? Is there enough for the kids really to become engaged, to set themselves up for future success, either at the high school level or career and post-high school?
We hope so. We have a wonderful teacher that takes the students that are learning to speak English, and they blossom. It's really hard. Children need to learn the language that we speak so they can communicate and grow on. But we also have to have the knowledge of other languages. This year, our PTO has been sponsoring after-school programs, and they've offered small snippets of different languages. So, again, it's on a volunteer effort, but the children then are aware of what's out there. And there are a lot of students that are multilingual in school, and so they, and I might not say that right, but the children are then able to kind of get an idea and be able to move on with it. No, I don't think there's enough. There are too many things that are required. The extras aren't often enough, but they're trying hard to offer as much as they can.
Does the school board have enough influence on the day-to-day activity, on the overall for the school, or is there so much that's mandated by the state, required by the county, all these various things that the school board is, it's there, everybody knows that you're there, but as far as the real impact of a school board, is there still that opportunity?
Well, I think there is. A school board basically is a policy maker. We set the policies with the guidance of the superintendent and needs of the school, and then make sure that they're followed. So if we set a policy that we're going to have music, then that happens. But we aren't in on the day-to-day running the school. We are there to help support the superintendent and listen to what the superintendent has to offer, and then try to guide what we think is best for the community. So we're just kind of a policymaker.
Got about a minute and a half to go here. So this may be the last one, depending on how verbose you become. School lunch programs.
Yes.
I mean, that's probably the bane of a lot of us outside the educational system, because we either remember what we didn't eat when we went through,
uh-huh.
or we see how much money is being spent now
uh-huh.
to provide that. Is there good ways, better ways for handling the school lunch programs at the school?
Well, as I mentioned a moment ago, we have a wonderful worker there, and she buys local. When apples are available, she goes down to Glendenin's and buys apples. You know, and the kids really like what she serves. We have lunch on the lawn, and I'm really blessed to go and eat with the kids once a month. And surprisingly enough, what is offered is what children want to eat. And it's just like my kids may not eat broccoli, and if it's on the plate, they're not going to eat it. But there is enough varied amount, and she's very cautious about offering what's required by the state, but is able to put it out in a way that the children like what it looks like, and then they want to eat it.
Thanks for coming by and participating.
Well, thank you. This has been easier than I thought.
You've been listening to Meet the Candidates. This segment, we've been talking with Marilyn Strell.